My name's Steve Worthington, and I'm a specialist in caves. And in particular, the technical name for this is a speleologist. And what we're doing this afternoon is we're going to go and visit some caves close to Hamilton.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name's Steve Worthington, and I'm a specialist in caves. And in particular, the technical name for this is a speleologist, or a karst hydrologist. And what we're doing this afternoon is we're going to go and visit some caves close to Hamilton. And this is a karst area where there's creeks flowing on the surface and disappearing underground into caves, and then coming out again at springs. These caves aren't very big. There aren't any very big caves near Hamilton. We have to go a lot further to places like up the Bruce Peninsula or south in the USA to places like Kentucky or West Virginia to get really big caves that you can go in. But these are little caves in Stony Creek, and we're going to go and look at them. The caves were probably formed in the last 10,000 years since the glaciers went away. This area was covered by about a kilometer of ice in the last ice age. And then about 14,000 years ago, the climate got warmer. The ice all melted, and lots of water was flowing on the surface. And the caves have been formed in the period since that last ice age. The caves are in limestone, and they're formed by water flowing through them. And some of them are the ones we'll be visiting today. The water's still flowing through them, and it's raining at the moment. We'll see some little creeks going into the caves, and they're slowly forming them at the moment. Maybe a millimeter every few years, and over thousands of years they get bigger and bigger, and so we can go into them. Now, the ones we're visiting, I said they're only about 10,000 years old, so they're not very big. But in some places you can get caves that have been formed for hundreds of thousands of years or even millions of years, and they can be a lot bigger than the ones here. I started caving a long time ago. I lived in England at the time, and there were lots of caves there, and I think I saw it in a newspaper article and got attracted to this sort of void underground, and you sort of wonder what's down there, what it's like to go down there. It's very unlike being on the surface. Because there's no daylight down there, there's no vegetation down there, you have to take your own lights. And it was a mysterious and magical place, and I got interested in it and explored caves for a long, long time. And then I came to Canada to actually study it professionally, to study how the caves are formed and how water flows through them. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20 years now. I studied at McMaster University. There was a professor there who specialized in that, and so there were a number of students there, graduate students who studied karst and caves. The caves here were probably known about for a long, long time, and I've spoken to people who went in the caves 20 or 30 years ago. Obviously, the children that lived in the neighborhood used to go in the woods, and there were these holes in the ground, and they used to play around them. In fact, one cave we went down, there's a drop down there of about 3 meters, and there was a rope hanging down it when we first went down it. So obviously the local people knew about these caves. But the first thing that the scientists knew about them was 4 years ago when they were building a subdivision there. A friend of mine happened to be speaking to somebody from the Conservation Authority, and they were wondering what to do with the water that was flowing on the surface when they put a new subdivision in. And the water was flowing on the surface and then disappearing down a hole in the ground. They were wondering whether they needed to build a storm sewer or whether the water would continue flowing down this hole. So we got involved with that and realized this was a significant area. And for the last 4 years, we've been working on it and working towards it being designated as an ESA, as an environmentally significant area, and secondly, as an ANSI, or an area of natural and scientific interest. And that's been going through the works now for 3 or 4 years, and hopefully that will be announced in the near future. And so hopefully this significant area, where there are lots and lots of neat features, will be preserved. But it was only 4 years ago, in 1999, that we found out about it and started exploring it and cataloguing all the significant features there. People started moving into Europe maybe 10 or 20 or 30,000 years ago. It was rather cold, and so they tended to shelter in places, natural shelters, where, you know, they could get out of the cold weather, and caves were a good place where they could shelter and have fires. And so there are a lot of people sheltered in caves in Europe. And in those caves, they left behind traces, not only of the bones of meat that they ate, they left them on the floor, but they also left paintings on the walls. And some of these are very, very beautiful and give us a clue to what people were like, 10 or 20,000 years ago. I mean, in Canada, people don't live in caves anymore, but and caves in Canada, I mean, are really just used for sport purposes, as an adventure. But on the other hand, how the water flows through the rock and dissolves it out is something of a broader scientific interest. And through my interest in caves, I got involved in this of how water could flow through limestone and how contamination could quickly flow through limestone. And it was this sort of rapid flow through limestone that occurred at Walkerton and was responsible for the deadly bacteria flowing through the bedrock there and getting to the wells, and then the people getting sick and some people dying. So I became, because I'm a specialist in this, I became involved in Walkerton and helped study that area and work out why the contamination occurred and how it occurred.
You are listening to Radio Free School on CFMU.
There are lots of animals that live in caves, but you have to be aware that there's a limited number of food sources in caves. So some animals live in the entrances of caves or just inside caves and then go outside to get their food. An example of that is bats. Canada, we don't have too many bats in caves because the caves are fairly cold, but if you go further south, there are some caves where there are millions of bats. So there's just a few in Canada, but we get other animals, and one animal we get are pack rats. And I was in a cave once. This was out in the Rocky Mountains in Alberta, and I was sleeping in the cave entrance, and I took my watch off at night time and put it right next to my head. And when I woke up in the morning, my watch was gone. And in fact, during the night time, one of these pack rats had walked over my sleeping bag, and I'd been aware that this rat was going around the cave looking at my belongings. And it dragged off my watch, and I looked around in the cave, and there were a few pack rat nests in the cave that had various objects in them, but I never found the nest that my watch was in, and I never got my watch back. Here in Ontario, there are occasionally a few bats in caves. Maybe you get small animals that have been washed in by the creeks, but really it's unlikely that we'll see any animals today in the caves. Have I ever been trapped in a cave? I've been trapped in a cave on, I think, three occasions. One time I was exploring a cave in England, and there was a large passage that went along, and it got to a section where the ceiling had fallen in, and there were a series of boulders there. So I was there with two friends, and we decided, well, maybe we'd try and find it. We'd try and find a continuation of the cave passage beyond the boulders. So it was a question of levering some of the boulders out of the way, and then sort of looking for a space between the boulders to see if we could go further. Well, I didn't do very well, and I managed to move some boulders down into the way that I was planning to get out of the cave. So these boulders were completely blocking my exit route, so I was trapped in this sizable room in the cave, about, say, 10 meters by 10 meters. But I couldn't get out of the cave. So they had to go out to get the rescue, the cave rescue, and the people came along, and in fact they brought a hammer drill along, a big pneumatic hammer drill, and we hammered away at the boulders and broke them into little pieces. But it took about 6 hours to break the boulders. It took all night, in fact, and I finally got out of the cave at 5 o'clock in the morning. That was the only time I've been sort of trapped by rocks, but I've been trapped a couple of times when caves have flooded. It's rained on the outside, and I've been in passages in caves where there's a stream naturally, and when it rains, the stream gets a lot bigger. And on two occasions, these streams have got so big that I couldn't get out of the cave. So I had to climb out of the stream and sit on a ledge for a number of hours on one occasion. I guess on both occasions there were two people. On the second occasion I was there with my wife, and we sat there for about 6 or 7 hours, and while this waterfall was thundering quite close to us, until the water went down, and then we could get out of the cave again. Very impressive seeing all the water flowing down in the cave. Okay, so we're there now.
Saturday night, put your right foot in, put your right foot out, give your foot a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Whoa, here we go, loopy-loo, here we go, loopy-lie, here we go, loopy-loo, all on a Saturday night. Put your left foot in, put your left foot out, give your foot a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Oh, here we go, loopy-loo, here we go, loopy-light, here we go, loopy-loo, all on a Saturday night. Put your right hand in, put your right hand out. Give your hand a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Oh, here we go, loop-de-loo. Here we go, loop-de-light. Here we go, loop-de-loo. All on a Saturday night. Put your left hand in, put your left hand out. Give your hand a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Oh, here we go, loop-de-loo. Here we go, loop-de-light. Here we go, loop-de-loo. All on a Saturday night. Put your head way in, put your head way out. Give your head a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Oh, here we go, loop-de-loo. Here we go, loop-de-light. Here we go, loop-de-loo. All on a Saturday night. Put your whole self in, put your whole self out. Give yourself a shake, 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 and turn yourself about. Oh, here we go, loop-de-loo. Here we go, loop-de-light. Here we go, loop-de-loo. All on a Saturday night.
I'm a creature of the cave!
Okay, just tell me a little bit, how was it in there? Is it scary?
No, not really.
No? I'm scared though, I'm scared to go in. What can you say to me to convince me that it's okay?
You go along, there's a stream flowing in it. When you're crawling, there's lots of sharp rocks and glass, broken glass. Mm. And once you get to one part, there's lots of sharp rocks that you need to get around. Then you get to a rock that a rope is tied onto. And then you go down where the stream is going down. And then there's a meter drop or something with lots of ledges that you need to climb down. And then you're on a big passage. And then off to the side, there's a little passage that just ends, doesn't come out to the surface anywhere.
So how do you feel when you're in there?
Huh? Cramp.
And there's water, and I got wet.
Dad,
and muddy.
Fighting over flashlights.
And it was?
And it was really dark. Josh, I wore this one helmet kind of thing. Just this little thing you put on your head, a band, and it had a light on it, so I put it on my head. It was much easier than carrying the flashlight.
Mm-hmm.
There's more people coming up soon.
And how was it?
Well, and I also went down I had to go down a waterfall. A little tiny trickle of water going down stones. They wore away some stone looks by the looks of it. And there was this big cave, probably worn away from water, dripping down because there was a little waterfall coming down. And there was a rope and I had to climb down. I was helped down.
You seem very happy. Was it great?
Yeah, it was excellent. And more people are also going to go in, and I think I want to be one of them again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Amy, you've got someone that's hooked.
I want to go down again. Where's that light thing?
We could go in another cave.
No, I want to have the light thing. I want to go down there.
I didn't go in a cave, and the two of them, which were really interesting. I went in this one that still had light streaming all inside it. So the first one, you couldn't get through it. None of us got through it. And the second one, I didn't want to go through. And the third one was a little boring.
Thank you.
Radio Free School on CFMU. Take chances! Make mistakes! Get messy!
Thank you.
is Madeline. I'm going to show a picture on my book. This is Joy's dad, Joy's mum, Joy, Joy's little brother, and Joy's little sister in a cave. So, cave suits. It's just blue suits, and you have boots, and these pads on your knees. The helmets, well, there's lights on them, and then the light goes out of them. Well, they're in this kind of cave room. I don't really know what they're called. Stalagmites. Well, a bottle brush. It hangs with these ones. And it was called a bottle brush because it looked like one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Movie review.
Well, if you go inside the earth, the thing I like about the story about Magic School Bus, I like the animated Magic School Bus better because you can actually see them move.
The Magic School Bus inside the earth, I've only seen the rainbow one, which was very badly red. Stalagmites and stalactites. Stalagmites and stalactites are like, very like each other, but stalactites grow from the ceiling by dripping water, dripping in the same place up on the ceiling, and stalagmites are formed by water dripping down onto the floor, onto the ground, in the same place over and over. And stalagmites and stalactites both grow an inch every 100 years. There's actually a limestone cave in the caves I explored, my favorite cave that I explored yesterday or the day before yesterday, whatever, I can't remember. But, and it was like worn away by dripping water and some ribbon, and the ribbon water droplets were starting to form in there. Underground and everything.
What are the caves made of?
Limestone. Carved out by dripping water. Well, in the movie, the best way to walk in a cave is like with your hands hanging, with your knees bent and your hands hanging down.
And how are the walls?
Very, very fragile. But not in the caves I explored, you were allowed to touch them and everything. Get down because it's pretty hard to get down. The original Magic School Bus movies are like more animated, not like just red, but how the person spoke, it was horrible. The Magic School Bus inside.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about the speleologist? Did that make you feel like becoming one when you saw it, or how did you think about it?
I just thought, it's going to be on a volcanic island. I'm out of here.
Are there any formations that they showed in the movie? What? Wasn't there something, Madeline, you mentioned in your drawing?
Bottle brushes.
It was formed from minerals and water, just like everything else. Special flower kind of thing that grows there, but it takes ages. And all those formations, they're so fragile, the slightest bump can shatter them.
The bottle brushes, you know why they were called bottle brushes? Because they looked like them.
Uh-huh. And do you know what they were formed out of?
No. But I think it's dripping water.
And minerals, right?
They're great. Because everything was so beautiful.
Does that make you want to explore caves when you go, as you get more caves?
I'm not sure. I'll have to think about it.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.